I'm muted. Good? Hold on. All right. Morning, everyone. Let's try that one more time. Good morning.
Morning.
Right, one more. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's better. So I'm very happy to be here again with you guys. Last time I was here, it was my wife speaking, so that was like 2 years ago, 3 years? I don't know. It was a long time ago. But yeah, I was with some of you guys in the church retreat, so I'm happy to see familiar faces and new faces. And Carrie and I met Carrie when I was still single, so we go years back when we were both single. Now we both have kids around the same age, and yeah, Pastor Carrie is a good man. He's a good man. So, let me pray for us before we start, and we'll go with the message. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that I can be here with this youth. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would bless our time together and that you would help us to know more about who you are, especially in this Christmas season. Help us, Lord God, to not be distracted with all the chaos and distractions and just to know how to use our minds well to focus on you and to think about you. So bless our time right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so is this week the first week where all these Christmas trees are up? Or no? Did you guys help with that? No? All right, it's okay. It's good though, it looks really great. The worship team did a good job, did they? Let's give them some claps. They were, I think I'm actually quite impressed with the worship team. One of them was wearing a necktie with a Christmas necktie. I was actually supposed to wear that today. Good thing I didn't, maybe. Or I would have a match, but maybe it was okay. But yeah. Our topic today is what would Jesus think? Do you guys know about before there was something called WWJD? Have you guys heard of that? What does it stand for? Yeah, that's right. What would Jesus do? So this is what would Jesus think? WWJT. So Philippians 4:4-9. My clicker is not working, I think. Huh? Oh, I should turn it on. I thought it was on. All right. Is it on? All right, good. So maybe I'll ask everyone to stand up and we'll just read this passage together, if you don't mind. Let us stand and read God's word together. So, 1, 2, 3, go. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Oops. So, there is a growing sickness today that affects 1 in every 4 people. They say that this sickness affects women twice as more than men.
Influenza?
No. Do you guys know that now in iPhones there's a screen time that you can see? Do you guys know that? If you have an iPhone, there's like you can check your screen time, how much time you spend on your phones. Is it also on the iPad? Is it also on Android on Samsungs? I don't know. Yeah. So, but the thing is that there's an interesting study that shows that the more time you spend on social media, it actually increases anxiety or depression and all these different things. Like the rise in social media affects anxiety. Are you guys following? So for anxiety, who has experienced anxiety? Raise your hand. Yeah. Like I would say at least, the study says that at least one in four person is affected by anxiety, and that it is a growing sickness today. In our war with ISIS, do you guys know how soldiers, what is the main cause of the death for soldiers in our war with ISIS? Hey, which was what? What would they do? Yeah, it's interesting. They actually, more soldiers die of suicide than actually died in battle. You know that for our battle with ISIS. It's because of suicide. Like, so all these things that I'm talking about are all about the mind. It's our mental capacity. It's our brain power. So our brain, our mind is actually very important. It's more important than our physical, because our mind will actually affect our body and affect our everything. So there's studies that shows that some people who are, you know, suffering anxiety, or like they can't even get up out of bed, like they can't control their body, like they're so paralyzed by their anxiety. So how your mind will affect your body, but it starts from the mind and then it goes on. So I really want to address the mind today. So today I want to address, like, your mind is actually your greatest asset. Our minds is actually God's greatest asset towards us. And how we use it and how we control it and how we, you know, let God control our minds will affect our lives. Like, it will affect your body as well. Like, there are so many studies that shows that your body capacity is affected by how you think. Your mind actually influences your body. Are you guys following? Yeah? All right. So Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let everyone see your gentleness. The Lord is near. It's interesting. You guys know who wrote the book of Philippians? Paul? Jesus? Wrong. Paul, okay? So Paul wrote the book of Philippians. And it's interesting. He says to rejoice in the Lord always. It's very rare to see a passage that says always. It's very rare to see a command always. So it's interesting that God using Paul, tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Like, it's an important thing, especially, you know, in this Christmas season or any season, like, we should always learn to rejoice in the Lord. Like, it's something. Do you guys rejoice in the Lord? How often do you guys rejoice in the Lord? How often do you do that? In Christmas time, do you rejoice in the Lord, or do you actually just rejoice in your toys, in your gifts? Oh, yeah. I think I'm just thinking about my own son. So I was thinking of toys, but, you know, rejoice in your new iPhones, new car. I don't know, whatever you guys get. All right, so whatever you guys get, you need to learn to rejoice in the Lord and not rejoice in the things that the Lord gives. So let everyone see your gentleness, the Lord is near. It's interesting, when Paul wrote this, you know what was happening? Where was Paul when he wrote this? Who can tell me? Hey, good job. Yeah, he was in jail. He was actually in jail in Rome, waiting sentence. Like, the church in Philippi didn't know what will happen to Paul. So when Paul was telling them not to be anxious and to rejoice, it was really telling the church in Philippi, like, hey, you guys don't know what's going to happen to me. You guys are concerned and worried. So don't be anxious. You know, always rejoice. Let everyone continue to see your gentleness, you know, in spite of persecution, because the Lord is near. It's interesting. They always say that the Lord is near ever since then, 2,000 years ago. The Lord is near. Is that true? Is the Lord near? Yeah? Why? How is the Lord near when he's not here yet, even though it was said like 2,000 years ago? How do you reconcile that? He's near spiritually? Yeah, that's good. But it's actually, you know, in light of eternity, it is near. Right? Thousands of years, whatever years, like when Christ comes back, in light of eternity, the Lord is coming near. And it's only getting closer. Like, we're closer now than they were before. But their mindset is that they're always waiting for Christ to come back, you know? So for you guys in this Christmas season, just remember, like, hey, Christ is coming back. Like, the reason we celebrate Christmas for Christ being born here in this world, it's for his to come back again, for his to return. So, like, we have to be living in light of that idea that the Lord is coming soon. And do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your request to God. It's interesting. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, like nothing at all. And here he kind of gives a secret for battling anxiety. The Bible gives us a secret power formula of what we should do when we are battling anxiety. So what does this verse say? How should we respond when we are faced with anxiety? When our mind starts to be anxious, how should we respond? What does the Bible say? All right. Audience participation is recommended. What does the Bible say here? Yeah, that's good. Prayer, but what type of prayer? Not just any kind of prayer, but what kind of prayer? Yeah. Prayer with thanksgiving. So that's really important. Like your prayer, your content of your prayer is to give thanks to God. Like whenever you're battling with anxiety, when sometimes you're concerned, you're worried, like the best way the Bible says to fight this is to pray with thanksgiving. So think about it, when you're concerned about your grades, when you're concerned about your parents, your loved ones, whatever, like think about how can you pray with thanksgiving? How can you pray like, Lord, thank you for the grades that I already have. Thank you that I have a school to go to. Thank you that I have my parents here. Thank you that I still have life. Every day you give me life to live. Like by doing that, you're actually fighting anxiety. Because anxiety has the nature of like needing to have more. Anxiety is saying that you are lacking something. But by thanksgiving, you're saying like, hey, I don't lack anything. I actually have everything you've given to me, and I just want to give thanks to you. So that's how you battle anxiety, is showing that you are not lacking anything, but God has given you what you need through Jesus Christ. Everything you need is already in Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, you have eternal life through Jesus Christ, and nothing is more important than that. Having a deep relationship with Jesus. Like, I'm trying to understand that, but that is like a secret for how to fight anxiety. But of course, there are some people who are deep in depression, deep in anxiety, and medication is helpful, and that's why we have counselors. My wife is a counselor, Lenny is a counselor. Like, these are important for you to help with anxiety if you are deep in it and that you're not able to cope with it. But always remember, like Jesus is the answer for our anxiety, for every problem that we have. And that's why Lenny and Ashley, they go to a seminary to integrate counseling and the Bible truths about how to deal with these problems, mental problems. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is really important. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So the thing is that when you pray, God doesn't really change your situation. Sometimes when you think, oh, when I pray, like God will just give me the brand new car that I've been anxious to have, or that grade that I want. I didn't study that well, so I'm very anxious, and I just pray that he'll give me 100. And if I keep praying hard enough, my zero will change to 100. Will that happen? Yeah, it doesn't happen like that. Like, what will happen is there's a peace that transcends your situation. Your situation doesn't change, but you still have a peace that can't be explained, that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus because of what Christ has given to you, the eternal life that he has given you, and the gifts that and all the blessings that he has given you. But he doesn't change your circumstance. So finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about these things. So here we really see that our mind is really powerful. What you choose to think will shape who you are. So if you always think about negative things, if you always think about bad things, it will shape you as a person. So try to think right now. What are the things that you always think about, especially when you're idle, especially when you're not doing anything? Like, where does your mind go to? And do you capture it? Do you, if it's going to a wrong direction, do you actually stop it and say, like, hey, that's not where my mind should be going. I should, redirect it. Or do you just let it go and let it consume you and change you to a person that you're not supposed to be? Right? So, really think through, where does your mind go to when you think? And God and the Bible tells us specifically, how should you use your mind? You should think about things that are true, things that are worthy of respect, things that are just and pure and lovely. Like, you have to use your mind towards thinking those things because it will shape you as a person. Yeah? You guys following? Say, I. All right. I don't know why I say I. We just we went to Disneyland, Disney World, and we got stuck in the Pirate Caribbean ship, and they were singing, yo, yo, ho, lo, the pirate's life for me. But yeah, so I think I got stuck in my mind, say I. But yeah, so just, just be participating. And what you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, do these things and the God of peace will be with you. So again, the reward for using your mind wisely is to have the peace of God. This peace of God is really gold. Imagine here right now for all of you guys, who would say that they have a peace that comes from God? Are you usually stressed about school? Are you usually stressed about your grades? Are you usually stressed with your friends? You know, like, anxious about all these different things? Like, the peace of God is really gold. Like, that is something God wants to give you. It's something that what Jesus wants to give to you. He doesn't want you to waste your time being anxious. He doesn't want you to waste your life worrying about things. But he wants to give you peace. But in order for you to get that peace, you know, you have to have Jesus in your life. And you have to be thinking about these things that he told you to think of. And once you start doing that, once you start using your mind to think about these things, you will have peace that comes from Christ. Are you guys following? All right. So, today I really want to do like a science thing, kind of. So I want to look at the study of brain, all right? How does our brain function? And how does Bible actually, an old-time truth, surpasses, you know, like all these different ideas about sciences and actually, yeah, so I'll show you. So science versus religion. Who says that science is against religion? Raise your hand. Science and religion are not compatible. Who says science and religion are compatible? All right, who says they don't know? All right, yeah, good, honest people. So let me share my view of science and religion, okay? So science, for me, I never see science and religion against each other. For me, I always see science as supporting religion. Science is actually, in a way, kind of weaker, because in the sense that science can only do things that are repeated and observed, you know? That's the only thing it can do, is like, it can test things that can be repeated or observed. So let's say the Big Bang Theory. That's actually something that cannot be repeated or observed because it already happened. So for someone to believe in the Big Bang Theory as opposed to believing in a creator creating this universe, it actually takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang Theory because you can't repeat that, but you're just like having faith that it happened. Because science really is something that has to be repeated and observed. Are you guys following? So religion is something that explains things, like it tells us like how things happen. It's interesting, there's actually more scientists that believes that there is a higher being that created the universe than actually it just came out of nowhere. You know, if actually you would read all the scientists and see their view, more people, they don't necessarily are Christians, they just believe there's a higher being that actually created the universe as opposed to some accident that just happened. No, because it actually takes more faith to believe that all this perfect alignment is actually just out of nowhere, out of accident. So science is always just supporting what Scripture says. And again, when I read Scripture, I always see science supporting Scripture. Like, science always supports Scripture. So this is what I want to show you today, how science has supported Scripture through our study of the mind. So the chicken and the egg, which came first? Yeah, I don't really know. So I just use this analogy to show you guys that the mind and the brain, which came first. So the mind and the brain are actually two different things, okay? So mind and brain are two different things. The brain is your physical structure, brain, right? It's the thing that you can touch. It's your brain. That's a physical structure. Your mind is actually your thinking process. Your mind is your consciousness. Some Christian scientists would even say your mind might be your soul. It's the way your consciousness, your thinking. So your mind and your brain are two different things. Are you following? The brain is the physical shape of your brain, and the mind is your consciousness, your thinking pattern. Are you following? All right, so mind and brain are two different things. And the idea, why I talk about this, like, which one came first? Did the mind came first or did the brain came first? And why is it important? So there's been studies about the amygdala, a part of our brain structure that says that if this brain structure in your brain, the amygdala, is more responsive, then you're more prone to anxiety. So some people would say, oh, I'm just born this way. Like, my brain structure is actually just is just formed this way, that I'm born with a higher amygdala, that's why I'm just more anxious. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just like this. There's nothing I can do. My brain structure is like this, I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. So that's why it's important to differentiate about your brain and your mind, all right? And just recently, you know, the study of brain, they all agree with this. They all agree, like, yeah, because they don't get to study the brain. No one was able to study the brain before, you know? So they would say, oh, okay, yeah. So if you're born with a brain, you'll die with the same brain you were born with. But just recently, you know, just recently. So before I say this, it's interesting because the Bible never agrees with this. You know, the Bible always teaches that you can actually change your mind. You can change how you think. The Bible always say like, hey, capture your thoughts. Use your mind to think about things that are good and godly. Like you can change your brain. You can change your mindset. You're not stuck with the brain that you have. So just recently in the 1970s, in the study of brain, they found out about neuroplasticity. Have you guys heard of neuroplasticity? Raise your hand. All right, one person, three, four, five. Yeah, but neuroplasticity, the idea is that your brain can actually be flexible. And this is only in the 1970s that they found that out. You know, so science changes. Science changes, and at the end, it will end up supporting religion. It will end up supporting Christianity. That's what I'm trying to argue. So your brain actually changes, and the way that your brain changes is through your mind. So how you think actually shapes your brain, and then your brain shapes your body. You know, like how your body is controlled by your brain. But then it all starts with your mind. So your mind is so important. Like your mind is your greatest asset. How you think will direct your life. How you think will change your brain, and how your brain changes will change your body. Are you guys following? So see how your mind, so it's really important to see where your mind is going and how your consciousness, your life, you know, is like, where are your thoughts going to, and how can you control and redirect those thoughts? So neuroplasticity is the idea that your brain changes from how your mind thinks. The more you think about it, the stronger it becomes. So for someone who's like depressed, right? He or she would like think about depressive things all throughout his life. And part of his brain will just keep shaping and shaping and shaping into like something that is, you know, bad in his brain, that he can't even move his hands anymore. He can't even get out of bed because his brain is like, has changed, has completely like changed because of how his mind is going. So it's really important to control your mind first, and then your brain will change, and then your body will change. So the mind, the mind is kind of divided into two parts. There is the conscious mind, and the conscious mind is like the tip of the iceberg, right? It's only a small part of your mind. It's like 10% of your mind, and your conscious mind is actually where you know, right now, like your thinking and your thought pattern, that's your conscious mind, that's your consciousness. So that's where your mind is going. And it's very important because your conscious mind is what you can control, right? Your conscious mind is where you can control where your mind are going, where your thought patterns are going to. You can't control your, you can't control your non-conscious mind. And your non-conscious mind is actually bigger. You see that? Your non-conscious mind is actually like 90% of your mind. So your non-conscious mind is every memory you have since you were like a kid, since you were born. You know, all these memories are stored in your non-conscious mind. And whatever you store in your non-conscious mind will always be kicked up to your conscious mind. So let's say you watch a lot of violent things and fighting things, and somehow you just started feeling like you want to punch, you know, you just want to, I don't know, whatever you want to do, but like it's your non-conscious trying to push out to your consciousness, like the thoughts that you have. So your conscious mind becomes like a gatekeeper. You know, you choose like, hey, I want to let this non-conscious thing come into my mind, or I don't want to let that non-conscious thing come into my mind. But like the non-conscious mind is a collection of all these different things that you let things come into your brain. You know, even just by walking around, all these senses, like all these things that you see, everything comes in, regardless if you're aware of it or not. You know, even like just, you know, a song, you know, last song syndrome, you just find yourself just started singing to a hum like over and over again. It's because of your non-conscious mind that if it affected your non-conscious mind too much, it's pushing up to your conscious mind. You guys following? So neuroplasticity works like this. Medication is helpful, but not enough, right? Like, you know, a counselor, psychologist will prescribe medication for people who are suffering with depression, anxiety, if it's too much. And it's helpful because it kind of somehow, sometimes it numbs your brain so that you can start thinking, so you can have better control of your mind. And repetition is key. The more you do it, the stronger it becomes, the connection of how your brain structure would look like. And younger people have more flexible brains. So you guys, your brains are actually the most flexible right now. Like, as you grow older, your brains are harder and harder to change and to be flexible. So like right now, your brains are the most flexible in changing the shape. So really be careful of what you allow entering into your mind. Because if you allow a lot of junk into your mind, you know, it would stay with you for a long time unless you, like, consciously take it away. So be careful of the junk that you allow in your mind currently. And the more time and intensity you build, you know, the habits build up. But yeah, 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "And we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ." You see this command, you know, like the Bible is saying that you have control over your mind. You can actually use your mind to take captive of things to obey Christ. How often do you guys do that? Think about it. How often do you actually take control of your minds? Huh? Think through your own lives. If you have a bad thought in your life, how often are you aware of the things that are coming to your mind? If I would ask you right now, like, what is, you know, what do you think of the most, your majority of your time? Where does your mind go to? Food? All right. K-pop? Anyone do K-pop? Some of our kids do think about K-pop. So whatever your mind, like, you have to take captive of it. You don't have to let it go loose, you know. You can't control it. Who heard of Rick Warren before? Nice. One, two, three, four. So Rick Warren, he wrote the book Purpose Driven Life, and he has been studying about the mind and the brain for 30 years. All right, so for 30 years, he's been studying it, and he found like hundreds of principles. He found hundreds of teachings about the mind and the brain from the Bible. And he came up with four most important things about the mind, winning the battle of your mind. All right, you guys ready to hear what the first one is? Yeah? All right, we have one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We have some. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. The first one, don't believe everything you think. Is that interesting? I didn't expect that when I read it. Don't believe everything you think. You know, because you know why that is? Because we are actually all mentally ill. You know, the Bible describes our mind as a troubled mind, a depraved mind, a sinful mind, a dull mind, a blinded mind, a corrupt mind. We are all sinful. Like, because we're all sinful, our mind is actually ill. Our mind is ill. And the Bible describes our mind as something that is needing help. So the first thing you have to do is don't believe everything you think. And sometimes you believe in things like, so recently, who has Facebook? All right, so recently I just changed my profile picture in my Facebook. And I got a lot of likes in my picture. And it can be very dangerous because you can start thinking that, hey, you know, if I get more likes, then my worth as a person increases. But what if I change my profile picture and no one likes it? Does that devalue my worth as a person? And I can think like that. You know, it's easy to think like that because that's what, you know, the social media is trying to say. The more followers you have, the more likes you have, the more worth you have as a person. And if I allow my mind to think that way, then I'm doomed. I'll have less worth as a person. I'll be anxious. I'll be like, are you following? So don't believe everything you think. Jeremiah 7, the human mind is more deceitful than anything else. It is incurably bad. Who can understand it? Do you guys know this word? Who can read it? It's Greek. Yes. So in Greek, it's called metanoeo. But the idea, repentance, actually has the idea, meta means change. Naeo means mind. So repentance, it's interesting. Repentance is not really a change of action, but it's more of a change of mind. If you take it literally as word per word, like metanoeo means a change of mind. So the Bible really shows you that the mind is the key to your actions. So your mind is your greatest asset. Second, guard your mind from garbage. Second principle, guard your mind from garbage. These are rotten apples. Who would eat this? All right, we have two people. Yeah, no, maybe. So I would encourage you not to eat it, right? Because that would destroy your body. It's not healthy for you. But how much more things that you allow in your mind? What do you let things that come into your mind? Right? Do you allow garbage to come into your mind? So in our church, we have three pastors, and I'm one of them, and the other two are very healthy people. Who likes to eat white rice? Yeah, I like white rice. I eat like every day, three times a day. But so when I eat rice, I like it, right? But my other two pastors are actually very healthy. They whenever we go out to eat, they never eat their white rice. They give it to me, and I eat it because they're guarding themselves from garbage. You know, some thank you or is that thank you or I don't know. But the thing is that you have to guard your body. You have to guard your mind. Whatever you allow to your mind, like if it's garbage, it will destroy you. So think about it. What do you watch? How do you spend your time? Like, what entertainment do you allow that is actually garbage? Do you, you know, hats? Oh, maybe that's it's okay. So the question is, you know, these red apples are healthier for you, and it's better for you. Is it sinful to eat the rotten apples? Yeah, it's not necessarily sinful. Is watching Netflix sinful? Yeah, it's not necessarily sinful. But the question is it beneficial, right? So the question is, everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial. Stop asking yourself questions, is it sinful? Start asking questions, is it beneficial? Because that's more important. You want to be healthy. You want to be beneficial. You don't want to say, oh, is it sinful or not? You want to be healthy. You want to be healthy and you want to be strong. And you want to take things that are actually good for your mind, not just okay. You know, some of you said it's okay to eat the rotten apples. Like, some of you would eat the rotten apples. But is it beneficial for you? So choose things that are actually beneficial for you. Is it okay to watch Netflix? Yeah. But, you know, choose to watch things that are actually beneficial for you. You know, I enjoy watching TED Talks. You know, TED Talk? You don't know TED Talk? Who knows TED Talk? Yeah, like, you know, like things that are beneficial for your mind. You know, I enjoy reading classic books because it's beneficial for your mind. It's not sinful to watch action, but how can you benefit from it? Find ways to benefit it. A wise person is hungry for knowledge while the fool feeds on trash. Can everyone say that? Let's read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. All right, don't feed on trash. Feed them something healthy. 3, find every opportunity to learn. When I was in high school, I was top 20 when I graduated. I was top 20 out of... Wait. I was top 20 out of 22 students. So I wasn't a great student. But the thing is that learning doesn't end at school. Learning is an everyday thing. I didn't like the school system of giving you grades, like your worth is grades, but I want learning. So for you guys, I want you to pursue learning. Don't pursue grades because that's useless. Pursue learning. Pursue wanting to learn more and wanting to enrich your mind. Like, that is more important than grades. So for you guys, like, how can you pursue learning? How can you pursue to enrich your mind instead of just doing things for the sake of grades? That's pretty lame, I would say so. Like, there's nothing, you know, like, if you're just doing it for grades, like, it's, like, pursue it because you want to learn and you want to enrich your mind because it's going to last forever. So humility says, the only thing I know is that I know nothing. Socrates, right? Socrates said, the only thing I know is that I know nothing. Like, it's very important to start from a place of humility. If you want to learn something, you have to be humble to want to learn it. Proverbs 10:14 says, the wise store up knowledge. It's interesting, the Bible never tells us to store anything up in this world, right? Like, if the Bible would say, don't store up treasures in this world, this is the only thing that the Bible tells us to store up in this world, is knowledge. So it could be that knowledge is actually something that you would bring with you in the afterlife. Whatever you learn now, you would get to keep into afterlife. So, like, keep storing up knowledge, keep storing up things, because you will actually get to keep it. You know, anything else you won't keep. Your mind you will keep, and whatever you store in your mind, you will keep with you. So it's powerful. Lastly, let God stretch your imagination. So there's this book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I just want to read the last part because we don't have time. But you empower other people and circumstances to shape you and your life by default. So the idea here is that everything has two creation. The first creation is in your mind. The second creation is you making it happen. But you have to envision it first. So you have to take time envisioning, like, hey, how is my life going to look like 10 years from now? How is my life going to look like, you know, 5 years from now? Like, you have to have a vision for yourself. Because if you don't have a vision for yourself, you empower other people to shape your circumstance in your life by default. You empower other people to dictate where your life is going if you don't have a vision for yourself. So start thinking, do I have a vision for my life? Because if not, I'm just going to live my life as is, and other people will change your life, will shape your life, will dictate where you're going to go. So yeah, have a vision. And in your vision, it's very important to partner with God. See, God, how can you really let me live in the life that will shape my life and like, redirect my thoughts and redirect my life so that I have a purposeful life? So Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. People are just crazy and useless, and everything is wasted if you don't have vision for your life. So these are all CEOs that spend time imagining, spend time creating visions for themselves. And these are not Christians. And they were able to achieve great things. Steve Jobs, all the CEOs that were able, that took time to imagine, to vision things. How much more for us as Christians? We need to take time to envision our lives so that we can have an impact in this world. If we don't have a vision for our lives 10 years from now, like, how can we change the world? How can God use us to change the world? So start thinking in your lives, how can you let God bring vision in your life? So, you know, write down 10-year dream for yourself, for your family, for your church. How can you partner with God in having a dream and a vision so that you are more effective as a person? All right. I made it. 12:35. So let me close this in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and just being here. It's always nice to visit different churches and to see how you are working in the different churches. And we just pray that you continue to empower Pastor Kerry and use him powerfully, Lord God, to bring this youth, Lord God, to a deeper relationship with you and to transform this world, Lord, that we will not just be living for ourselves, but we will be living for your glory and for your kingdom to come and to make a difference in this world, Lord God, for your glory. So thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.